Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
If you could turn your Bible this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. I just want to go straight in there this morning. The book of Matthew, chapter 5. And I just thank the Lord for my salvation. I thank the Lord for the privilege and the honor to be able to stand behind a pulpit with the right frame of mind, saved, delivered, healed, set free. And it's all because of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, reading from verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And if I want to make a title of this message this morning, it's simply called, "It's Time to Stand Up and Stand Out." I say it's time to stand up and stand out. How many know that Jesus Christ has called us to stand up and stand out in this nation, in this world? He's called us to stand up for what we believe in. He's called us to stand up from, because he brought us from where we were from. How many people were lost and bound in this place? Let me see your hands if you were lost and bound, amen. And Jesus Christ came and he picked you up. He turned you around. He's placed your feet on the solid ground. And he's brought you into a place where you can be effective for him. See, we see this portion of scripture this morning. We find it directly after the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, reading from verse 3 to 12, when it talks about the blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those that are meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart. How many blessed people are in the house this morning? Come on, make some noise. How many people are blessed this morning? See, you woke up, you never woke up stressed, but you woke up blessed this morning. See, you woke up in the right frame of mind this morning. You woke up this morning knowing that Jesus Christ loves you, that he has a plan for your life. You know that your family is going to be saved according to the word, because it says believe and your household will be saved. But I'll ask you again, how many people in God's house this morning can say you are blessed? Blessed that you are married. Blessed that you have children. I'm blessed for my children. They really develop my character every day. I thank God for God uses my children to develop the character in me, because how many know that God will use anything and anybody to grow us and develop us, because he wants us to shine in the world. Amen. See, but when it comes to this portion of scripture that I read earlier, Jesus is saying, "You are the light." See, it's a big statement. He's not saying that you are dull. Though that maybe your family maybe say you're dull, or maybe your work colleagues maybe say you're dull, but he's saying you are the light. And if he's saying you are the light, that tells me that you are shining this morning. If you are the light, then you have to understand this morning that he is saying that you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone. Not just some people. It gives light to everyone in the house. See, you need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know that who you are in Christ this morning, so you can live your life as God intended you and fulfill your destiny. The more you agree with what God says about you, about your identity, the more your behavior will begin to reflect your God-given identity. See, one thing about identity this morning, your identity doesn't depend on something you do or have done. Your true identity is who God says you are. And if God says that you are more than a conqueror, guess what? You are more than a conqueror. If he says that you are a champion, you're a champion. If he says you can do all things through Christ Jesus, it doesn't mean you can just do some things. It means that you can do all things. And we see this portion of scripture, and he's saying that you are the light. You are the light. We have not been called to play safe church. We've not been called just to play church. We've not been called to be comfortable. But we've been called to stand up and stand out and make a difference. But see, to stand up, to stand out, it takes effort. To stand up and stand out, it takes our playing our part. Because Jesus Christ has already won the victory. We've already got the victory. But our part is that we're just walking in it. We are walking it on a daily basis that we have the victory. But to stand up and to put the light on. Growing up as a boy in the late 70s and early 80s, we never had remote control TVs. We had TVs that had big buttons. And guess what? I was the youngest in the family, so guess who the remote control was? And if you were the youngest in your family, you were probably the remote control too. And what used to happen, you used to be sitting there and you used to be all comfortable. And your dad would say, Kevin, or whatever your name is, turn the TV over. So you had to get up, you had to walk over the living room, and you had to press that big crazy button. And you had to press it to turn it over. See, before there could be change, someone used to have to stand up. And that was me. And that's what it's like as a Christian. Before there can be change, before we can see the nations reached, before we can see our communities reached, before we can see our neighborhood reached for Jesus, it's going to take us standing up. It's going to take us standing up and standing up and standing up and going forward. You will never change if you don't stand up and stand out. But when I was thinking about this, if my brother asked me to turn it over, I would say no. Sometimes if my mum asked me to turn it over, I would say no. But if my dad asked me to turn it over, you never thought twice about it. You got up and you done it. And that can be like that sometimes in church. That if a certain person doesn't ask you to do it, then you won't do it. It has to come from a certain person to tell you to do that before you'll stand up and do it. But if such and such brothers or sisters, such and such, it comes up and say, excuse me, is there any chance you can do that? No, I'm not doing that. But all of a sudden, if someone else comes up, someone with a little bit more authority, and they maybe say, could you do that? Guess what? You run and do it. See, we need to get up and stand up. We need to be willing to accept instructions from anybody as long as it's glorifying God, as long as it's advancing the kingdom, as long as he ain't asking you to sin, as long as he ain't asking you to turn your back, as long as they're asking you to go forward, then, brother and sister, it needs to be yes and amen. It needs to be yes and amen. Here I am, Lord, use me. We pray that in the morning. God, if you can use anybody, use me. But please let that person tell me. God, if you can use anybody, use me. Excuse me, brother, could you do that? Sorry, I'm busy. I can't do that. Am I speaking to the right church this morning? See, we need to get up from that. We need to get up from that. That people pleasing sometimes. We need to get up from that attitude sometimes. We need to get up and understand that we are a family. And a family that works together and prays together and serves together is a family that will last together. And if we tell people that we are a family, then guess what? We need to start acting like a family. There ain't no division in the kingdom in this house. We're one family. We're in it together. Let's work together. Let's see the city reach together. Let's see families restored together. See, you'll never see change if you don't stand up and stand out. So this morning, I want to look at 3 points from this portion of Scripture. And the first one is that you are the light. Tell your neighbor you are the light. Tell them like you mean it. It says, you are the light of the world. It says the world, not just in our lives, but we are called to reach the world with the message of hope and a plan of Jesus Christ. We are called to shine. We are called to reflect the light into the darkest places. Today, you maybe need to change your settings and put it onto auto brightness. Because sometimes circumstances can make us go a little bit dull. Sometimes trials can make us go a little bit dull. But how many know that when you put it on auto brightness, the minute you're in the presence of God, you will start shining, you will start glowing. Then when you leave that door, whoever sees you will be attracted to the light that's coming from you. See, that only happens when you're in the presence of God. Some people today, maybe you maybe need to change your settings and put it onto the auto brightness. You've allowed circumstances to lead you. You've allowed circumstances to control you. You've allowed circumstances to tell you what to do. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ says he's the way, the truth, and the life. That you've got to allow Christ to lead us. We've got to allow Christ to position us in the right place, because there's a place for everyone in the house. There's a place for everyone where everyone fits in. God's given you gifts. God's given you talents. God's given you abilities that are for the furtherance of the kingdom. But you ain't going to use them sitting in your chair. You have to stand up and stand out and allow that light to shine. You may be the key that's going to open the door to someone else's future. You might have that word for someone in season. You might be able to open the door of opportunity for someone. But you're never going to get it if it's on dullness. And we're not allowing the light to shine through us. But like I said, we allow circumstances to dictate what we do. I came across this scripture and really, it really stuck out to me. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, "For you are children of the light and of day. We don't belong to darkness and night." We don't belong to darkness and night. I love this portion of scripture because it says simply that we are the children of the light and we don't belong. But how many know that the enemy tells us sometimes that we belong over here? That he tells us that we don't belong here, but we belong over there. But I want to let you know this morning that the word of God says that you are children of light and we don't belong to darkness and night. We don't belong to the things of the world. We've got to go in there and make a difference in the world. We've got to get in there and cause chaos in the world for the kingdom and the glory of God. See, at some point in our lives, we might have found ourselves in darkness. Or even today, you maybe have made wrong choices. You may have found yourself in a place of darkness. But the good news is you don't belong there. You don't belong there. Sometimes we need to get up and move forward. Because sometimes when we're going through it, it's so easy to sit down and turn the light off. It's so easy to have your pity party. It's so easy just to go through it. It's so easy just to sit there and go through your stuff. But I want to let you know this morning that you know what? That you don't belong there. You don't belong there. You need to get up. I was at the gymnastics with my little girl, Naomi, yesterday. And she was doing a little gymnastic stuff. And she'd hurt herself. She'd done like a little move and she hurt herself. And I watched her. And as a dad, I wanted to run here and grab her and pick her up and give her a big kiss and say, "It's going to be all right, doll." You know what I mean? But I sat back and I watched what the teacher done. And the gymnastic teacher got her and comforted her and told her to sit down till she was all right. And I watched Naomi, she was really going through it. And I said to her on the way home, I said, "You know what?" I said, "Sometimes when you go through stuff, sometimes when stuff happens, you just need to get up. You just need to get up and try again." And she's like, yeah. I said, "I'll tell you what, I'll do it to help you." I said, "The next time if that happens again, if you don't get up, I'm going to jump up and shout something." And she's like, "All right, I'll get up. I said, if you don't get up, I'm going to jump up. I'm going to say, 'Hi, everybody, I'm Naomi's dad, and I'm coming back like a boomerang.'" Because she's into JoJo Siwa, if anybody knows who JoJo is. That's all I hear in my house, by the way. That's all I hear, man. And that's what I think. She's like, "All right then, Dad, if anything happens, I'll get right back up." But see, we need to have that mindset as Christians that we can't stay down. We can't stay defeated. We can't stay the bottom. We need to get up. We need to get up and shine. You're called to shine. You're called to stand out. Light stands out. Light will show the souls the way to Christ. We have been brought from darkness to light. In Philippians 2 verse 15, it says, "So that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives of children of God, shining bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people." The world is full of crooked and perverse people. But how else are they going to see the light if the church doesn't go out? How else are they going to know the truth if we don't tell them? How else are they going to know about Jesus unless someone tells them? I was sitting at waiting for my wife picking me up the other day there at Tesco's. And there was a guy sitting begging on the street, sitting begging on the chair, and had his little hat doing his begging. I said, "Oh, you go, here's an opportunity, praise God." Sat down, "How you doing, mate?" I had a wee conversation with him. And he's like, "Yeah." He's telling me how hard it was. Like he had to go and get a new sleeping bag every day and how hard it was. He wasn't getting enough food. And I said to him, I said, "Do you ever feel like changing, mate?" I said, and I shared my testimony. I said, "Do you ever feel like changing?" He said, "Why should I change?" He said, "I'm making £70 a day for sitting on my bum." And he said, and he started ranting and raving. He says, you know what really gets me? He said, I hate begging outside McDonald's because all people get is McDonald's. I said, wow, man. I said, brother, I said, you need Jesus, man. I said, you need Jesus, but sometimes people can settle for where they're at. And how else are they going to know change unless we take change to them? And that's what God has called us. He's called us to shine bright. He's called us to go out there and represent Christ on the streets and represent him in our communities and represent him wherever we go. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. He's called us to shine, church. You've been called to stand out. But before you can stand out, you need to stand up. See, the second point that I want to look at is that you are called to stand up and out. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. See, life is about vision and mission and principles and commitment and focus. Jesus proved it when he came and lived on the earth for 33 years. He knew his mission and he committed himself to it while living a principled life based on the truth. See, standing up and standing out speaks of standing up for what you believe, your vision and your mission here on earth like Jesus did, and standing out from the crowd of people of this world, daring to be different by upholding principles of God's word and living for God's glory. I love what it says in Luke 21, verse 19. It says, stand firm and you will win life. Stand firm and you will win life. There's something special about standing your ground. When everything else comes against you, when all opposition comes against you, when sickness comes against you, when adversity comes against you, when certain things comes against you, there's something special about standing your ground. Standing your ground for what you believe in, not compromising. Standing your ground for what values you hold. Standing your ground. See, how do you live? By standing. See, a lot of Christians are interested in when Jesus is going to return. And I look forward to that day as well. But there's a reason why God didn't tell us when that day is coming. He doesn't just want us to get ready for Jesus to come. He wants us to live ready. Are you living ready this morning? Is your life living ready this morning? That wherever you are you representing Christ this morning? Is your life a life of the gospel this morning? See, how do you live ready? By standing up and standing out for what is right. Not compromising or bowing down to the things of this world. Not being half-baked or wishy-washy, but by standing your ground. And it says in Ephesians 6, verse 14, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of the armor of God's righteousness. What I learned at the World Conference is that this ministry has been built from 1967 on men and women that have stood their ground. Men and women have stood their ground, not compromising, not shrinking back, not looking back. When the government was offering them also, they said, no, we're standing our ground. We're believing. We're living by faith. We're a faith-based ministry. We're a faith-based ministry, but that's how our homes are. That's why our homes are different. That's why our men's and our women's homes are unique. They're unique. Why? Because we believe that Jesus Christ can set the addict completely free. We believe the power of God can deliver, set free, restore, and rebuild broken lives. Without detox, without substitutes, without nicotine patches, but with the power of the Holy Ghost, with Jesus for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. See, we believe that God it can set free completely. That's why we are unique. That's why we stand out. How about you this morning? Are you standing out to your family? Are you standing out in your neighborhood? Do people know that you're a Christian? Wherever you go, does your neighbors know that you go to church? Does your neighbors know exactly what you believe in? Does your neighbors even know that you're a Christian? Because sometimes, you know what? Fear can stop us sharing. Fear can stop us standing up and standing out. Sometimes we can even sometimes feel embarrassed of telling people the good news. But I want to let you know this morning that it's your time to stand up. That it's your time to stand out. We've got this city to reach. We've got a nation to reach. We believe that we're going to reach the world for Jesus. Can somebody say amen? That we believe that we are called to reach the inner cities of the world. But today is the day that God is maybe challenging you to stand up. Stand up. Stand up in your workplace. Stand up in your college. Stand up in your university. Stand up with your family. Stand up. Stand up because you've got something worth standing up for. Because he went to the cross for you. He was nailed to the cross for you. He died. He rose for you and for me. He set you free. He called you. He chose you. When everyone else gave up in you, he never gave up in you. He always put his hand out and says, come on, brother. Come on, sister. It's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. We see we have a perfect opportunity next week. We have Barry Woodward. Tell your neighbors. Tell everybody. Tell the lady behind the desk at Tesco. Tell them in Morrison's, wherever you go. Tell them we have an evangelist next week. If you know anybody in your family that is sick, bring them next week. Bring them next week. We've got to believe that he is a miracle-working God. We need to invite people. We need to tell people that, you know what, something is going to happen next week. But it takes us standing up and standing out for what we believe in. And the last point is that we need to be examples to others. We need to be examples to others. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, a mature Christian is someone who models and is a pace setter, someone who influences others in positive ways according to biblical standards, modeling Christian values. Virtues of true spirituality is crucial to effective ministry in this world. I saw it time after time after time in this ministry. I've been in the ministry for 13 years. I've saw many great examples before me. I've saw men and women that have went before me, that have been examples in their walk, been examples that they're the same at church on a Sunday that they are on a Monday, and the same on a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday. It doesn't change. They ain't got a double identity. They're one person. They're examples. But are you being an example? Are you being an example? Can people say that your walk is an example? Is what you watch an example to others? Is what you're reading an example to others? Is what you're talking about an example to others? Because if it's not, then you know what? It needs to line up. It needs to be in line. It has to be an example. I love what it says in Psalm 71, verse 7. It says, my life is an example to many, because you have been my strength and my protection. I love Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. I love Sister Vicky's zeal. I love Sister Vicky's passion. That you know what? When cancer tried to put her down, she got back up. When things tried to put them down, she kept getting back up. And she says, you know what? I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to keep going. To me, that is an example of a trailblazer. We see it as our elder. We see it as our founder, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie. The age they are, and they're still trailblazing for Jesus. It doesn't look like they're going to stop. It doesn't look like they're going to put down their Bible. It doesn't look like they're going to quit. It looks like they're going to keep going and keep going. But sometimes, what stops us? What stops us from being examples? Sometimes we allow the circumstances to control us. We allow things, the pressure, to weigh us down. Sometimes we take our eyes off faith and we put our eyes on self. Because sometimes, you know what, we've got the faith for this and the faith for that, but all of a sudden we start doubting this and we start doubting that. You've either, the faith, you have to keep walking by faith and not by sight. It has to be an example to others. We're believing for miracles. We're believing this building ain't big enough. We're believing for the thousands and the thousands and the thousands of people coming in. We're believing that the homes ain't big enough. We're believing that the gang ain't big enough. That people are going to take cities for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. That people could go to Leeds and Bradford, and we see all these cities, Stoke and up to Scotland. I mean, there's so many cities that need to be took. But it's going to take men and women to say, you know what? I'm going to be an example, and I'm going to say yes to the call of God. I'm going to say yes to the call of God and no to the call of myself. Because sometimes the call of ourselves will shrink back from the call of God. When we know that God has called us to do something, when we know God has promised us something, if it's one thing that I could take personally from being from the World Conference, God was stirring up the promises that He'd spoke to me, the things that He'd showed me, the things that I'd turned my eyes off, the things that I'd been discouraged about, the things that I'd forgotten about. And He said, you know what? The best is yet to come. And I want to encourage someone this morning that the best is yet to come. God has not forgot you. God knows exactly where you are. You're in the right position at the right time. He's ready to pour out His Spirit. And just watch what God is going to do in your life. John 13 verse 15 says, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. We see this portion of Scripture that when Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Sometimes that servanthood can leave the church sometimes. Sometimes people only get the mindset that it's only leaders that serve. Or it's only the homes that do stuff. It's only the homes that break the church and set the church up. It's only the homes that hoover. It's only the homes that do this. It's only the homes that do that. But we saw the great example of that last week when the homes weren't here. We saw men and women standing up and saying, you know what? This is my church. And I want the best for my church. We see people setting up the church, people hoovering, people breaking up, breaking down, and it wasn't the homes. But I want to encourage you this morning, just because everyone's back, you don't need to shrink back. See, everybody's back, you should still be pressing forward. If you got a game in the team last week, you ain't injured this week. Get back up. Get back into your position. You know what? You used me last week. Use me this week. Come back in early again. Start setting up. You don't need to be told now. You know what to do. We want to be used by God. It's time to be examples. It's time to be examples. We are called to serve and be examples. We are called to be examples in front of our children, in front of other people. We are called to be examples. One thing that I learned, especially with children, kids don't miss nothing. Kids don't miss nothing. I remember I was sitting with the iPad and I was trying to read the iPad and listening to Naomi reading at the same time. And she turned around blatantly and said to me, Dad, put the iPad away. I thought you were listening to me. I went, all right then. I felt about that size. And I done it. Then a couple of weeks ago, I was just doing it again. And she go cross. She goes, I thought you were listening to me. And I was like, all right. And I had to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll put my iPad away when you're reading. See, kids see everything that we do. Kids watch. Is your children see you praying? Is your children seeing you reading the Word of God? Is your children seeing you broken in the presence of God? Is your children seeing you giving to God? Is your children seeing you fasting? Is your children seeing you, especially treating others nice? See, what we're going to see, because one of the things, the 50 years is gone. And one of the things at the conference that we're talking about is the next 50 years. See, the next 50 years is us and our kids. Our children are the ones that are going to take cities. Our children are the ones that are going to shake this nation. Our kids are the ones that are going to make a difference. But what are we showing them? See, we can't leave it to someone else to disciple our own kids. We need to disciple our kids. We need to disciple our kids. We need to train a child up in the way that they should go so that when they're older, they're what? Never depart from it. And I want to encourage us that we need to be an example. We need to be an example, and as Pastor Auntie comes up on the keyboard, and we need to be an example. And the question that I want to ask you this morning, are you being an example? If you were to search your heart this morning and ask yourself, am I really being an example? Am I really shining for Jesus? Am I really allowing His light to shine through me and everywhere that I go? Am I really, really allowing Him to work through me? Or has circumstances been holding me back? have been coming under the trials instead of being over them. See, God has not called us to come under things. He's called us to be over things. So whatever you're facing today, whatever you're going through today, whatever's coming against you today, I want to let you know that it's time to stand up. It's time to stand up and stand out. How else are we going to see this city took for Jesus? How else are we going to see our families saved? How else are we going to see families coming into the church? How else are we going to see the thousands of people coming in? It's going to take you and it's going to take me standing up. And as we stand to our feet this morning, I believe this morning that we need to be shining more for Jesus. That we need to be shining more. Due to circumstances, you might have been shrinking back, but it's time to start shining more. And it's time to be more of an example. More of an example. And as the worship team get ready to lead us in worship, I want to open the altars and I want to invite everybody to come to the altars. Because it's a family effort. It takes a family effort. And as we all come and we worship Jesus. He's calling you to stand up and stand out. Be your prayer. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. People, it's your time to stand up. Here I am. the opening scripture, it said that you are the light of the world. And I believe in this place, there is people that have been praying for opportunity. There is people that's been praying for opportunity to be used by God. And I believe right now that doors of opportunity are opening, allowing you to walk through. There is people you've been praying for a door of opportunity. And I want to let you know that that door of opportunity is opening. You just need to walk through. You just need to walk through. You just need to walk through. You just need to walk through and allow Christ, His light to shine. You've been waiting for a long time. You've been wondering when this door is going to open. The door is opening now. Your door is opening now. It's your time to shine. This is your opportunity season. It's your time to fulfill the call of God for your life. It's your time to walk through like a boss. It's your time to walk through and become everything that God has called you to be. Where before you would have hesitated, where before fear would have stopped you, I want to let you know right now, if you just walk through, watch what God will do. If you just walk through that door, watch what God's going to do. He's going to use you powerfully. There is people that God has given you a message to take to the streets. There's people that God is going to use you in the schools. He's going to use you in the high schools. He's going to use you. The door of opportunity is opening now. You've been praying for this door. You've been asking for this door. You may have even been fasting for this door. But I want to let you know, the door of opportunity is opening now. You just need to walk through. You just need to be that man or that woman of faith and walk through with your head held high. It might feel out of your league, but because it is out of your league. Because if you could do it without Jesus, why would you need Jesus? He's taking you into a place where only He can use you and you can shine. Whoever that is for today, you need to walk through that door. I keep feeling that. There is people at the edge, at the edge, at the edge, at the edge. You just need to walk over. You just need to step out. He's given you the gifts. He's given you the talents. You just need to step out. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter what even people think. It's what Jesus says at the end of the day. And He says that you're more than a conqueror. He says you're well able to do it. He says you can do all things through Christ Jesus. So you just need to step out. You need to stand up and step out. And as we get ready to close, just lift our hands all over this place. Just lift your hands. That's all over this place. Just lift your hands. Just lift your hands. And say, here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord, use me.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon. Yeah.